You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment released a report that showed that there were gaps in the monitorisation of hazardous chemicals in the environment. In the media release regarding the report, it stated that there is a robust regulation system on paper, but many of the chemicals used over the past decade have been overlooked. Only 200 chemicals are routinely tested in New Zealand's environment, however, over 30,000 are approved for use. I spoke with Dr. Jennifer Gadd, aquatic chemist at NIWA, about the issue and began by asking her to tell me a little more about the report and her stance on it.
Sure. So this report by Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment covers how we regulate chemicals in New Zealand. So it's right from deciding what can be imported and used, through to where they're being used and how much, and finally to monitoring their presence in the environment. And the reason the PCA did this investigation is that we really don't have good systems in New Zealand for regulating chemicals, and that's through any of those stages that I just mentioned. The report includes case studies on four different chemicals to show how these are regulated and how much is known about their use in New Zealand. And what the PCA team found is that they really struggled to get information.
So was there any indication of which chemicals were missing when looking at what's contaminating the environment?
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer. There's about 150,000 man-made chemicals worldwide, and 30,000 of those are approved for use in New Zealand. And this report really didn't look into which chemicals we should be looking into. That wasn't the focus of the report. The issue is that without a good system for regulating and for tracking chemicals, it's really hard to know what might be out there and what we might be missing. So if researchers would often look to overseas studies to show us what chemicals we might want to investigate, what might be building up in the environment, but without having any sort of tracking system, it's hard to know where to focus your study. So you might be looking, for example, for a pesticide in a river, say, in Southland or something, but it's actually used in Canterbury and never used in Southland. So you're putting your effort into the wrong place. And then we really just don't find out what we're missing.
And over the past few years, have you been able to sort of track any increase in environmental damage due to potential hazardous chemicals?
Yeah, that's a hard one to answer because we use chemicals all of the time in so many different parts of our lives, in your shampoo, your body wash, you're using them in the garden, in horticulture and agriculture. So you're out there in so many different places and always in a mixture. So it's very difficult to determine if a particular chemical might be causing harm. And there's also all the other stresses that are out there in the environment. So you've got climate change, you've got increased temperature, you've got changes in this, for example, in stream, changes in stream flow, nutrients. There's so many different issues going on. But there are some examples where particular chemicals can be implicated in causing harm. So, for example, the neonicotinoid class of insecticides, they're implicated in the decline of bees. And those chemicals, or that class, are one of the case studies in this report. And what that shows is that while we do know how much of those chemicals are used in New Zealand, we don't know really where they're used, and we don't have good information at all on where they're ending up, so whether that's in a stream or groundwater or soil. So it makes it really hard to figure out whether we are seeing that increase in chemical or in environmental damage and relating it to particular compounds.
So how does the current regulation system work?
So currently the New Zealand EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority, regulates chemicals coming into New Zealand. So they will approve chemicals for use, and they suggest particular controls, or recommend require particular controls, whether that's related to the amount that you use or the control the person will use when you're using those chemicals. So there's a whole bunch that go through that pathway, and they do assess the risk to the environment when you're used. But there's other chemicals that we use in New Zealand that go through different pathways. For example, human medicines go through MedSafe. There's no requirement in that system to assess what might happen to that chemical or that medicine once it's in the environment. So things like antibiotics, steroids, and even things like the contraceptive pill, when we take them, they pass through our body in one form or another, and they are released into the environment through our wastewater treatment plants. So we're missing that step in our regulation.
And so what's your suggestion on improving the regulations?
So this report sets out a whole bunch of recommendations on how to improve our regulations, including making it more comprehensive. A key aspect that we need in New Zealand is tracking. So figuring out not just when you approve a chemical, where it is actually used. And a system that provides some public accessibility to that tracking system, I think, is also really important. In most countries overseas, you can look up a chemical and you can find out in your, you know, in your neighbourhood how much is being used and how much is being released. And I think it's really important for the public to know, and it helps you also apply pressure to those organisations if you want to, you know, examine that and get them to reduce their chemical usage. And yeah, we're really missing that step in New Zealand at the moment.
So is the current monetarisation, is that all private information?
The regional councils and local councils do monitor some chemicals in the environment, but bearing in mind, I said there's about 7,000 approved for use. They generally monitor a much smaller number, most frequently in the sort of tens of chemicals, but up to maybe 200. This is the 1% of all the chemicals that are out there. So a lot of that information is publicly available, but there's also monitoring that's undertaken, like for a resource consent. So if you've got a wastewater discharge from either maybe a human, you know, municipal wastewater treatment plant or a dairy factory or some industrial place, the monitoring that they do for their consent is provided to the council. Theoretically, that is publicly available, but in reality, there's no like website where you can click onto and find that information. Most of that information is just sitting in somebody's email or it's in an Excel file. It's on a council database, but it's not available to the public.
That was Dr. Jennifer Gadd, aquatic chemist and NIWA, speaking about the report and regulation systems for chemicals. I also spoke with Melanie Carr, Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, about the issue. I began by asking, what are the current most prevalent hazardous chemicals in the environment?
So that's difficult to say. Generally, we prefer to talk about risks rather than just hazard or toxicity alone. And this is because if you have a chemical that is very toxic, but no one is using it, no one is exposed to it, that's probably not such a big issue. Now, if you take a chemical that is not very toxic, but that is used a lot and ends up everywhere in our environment at relatively high concentration, in that case, you're pretty sure to see some negative impacts at some point. So I'd rather focus on the risks concept, and to identify the most risky chemicals, we basically need three elements. The first one is how toxic they are, but we also need to know how much is used and how much ends up in our environment. And this is really the basic of ecological risk assessment. And it's also the principle that is applied in the report by the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, which is very good.
And so where do most of these hazardous chemicals come from? Are they predominantly industrial or commercial use?
Again, this is something that is very, very difficult to say at the moment. And that's one of the big issues that is identified in this report. New Zealand is the only developed country that has not yet established a national platform for collecting data on known discharges to the environment. So in other words, it means that no one is keeping information on the quantities of chemicals that are imported to New Zealand and what happens to them. So, for instance, a lot of my work looks at the fate of pesticides in the environment, pesticides that are used in agriculture. And for a couple of years, I've been trying to find out how much pesticides are imported, how much pesticides are used in New Zealand every year. And this is very difficult to find. It seems that the most recent report was conducted, or the survey was conducted more than 15 years ago, and this is obviously really outdated now.
These sort of monitoring systems, there isn't really a clear one, but has it sort of improved over the years, or has it stayed the same from what you've said?
So there is some monitoring going on. There's been really great improvements over the last decades when we look at nutrients or bacterial contamination. Also a few metals such as zinc or copper are routinely monitored. But if we look at organic contaminants such as pesticides or pharmaceuticals, then we really have little data. The report by the PC suggests that there are fewer than 200 chemicals that are regularly monitored across New Zealand. But if we think that we have more than 30,000 chemicals registered in New Zealand, that means that we are monitoring only one compound for 150 compounds that are potentially used. So we are very likely to miss anything that may be in our environment. And that's a general issue with contaminants. If you don't look specifically for it, we may never know that it's there until it is too late.
Do you think it's feasible to try and look for 30,000 chemicals, or should we just be increasing slightly to the ones that might cause the main concerns?
So it is definitely not possible to track in details 30,000 chemicals. And this is where the prioritization exercise is very important. We have to identify those compounds that are the most used, are the most toxic, that are likely to end up in our environment so that we can focus our attention and our resources on those few. More than one out of 150 would be fantastic, obviously.
Were there any indications of what those chemicals might be?
To be honest with you, I don't want to suggest any chemicals at this stage. A lot of my work is around pesticides, and so I would definitely like more monitoring for pesticides, because somehow they tick the three boxes. They are toxic, they are used a lot, and we know that, you know, they are applied in the open environment. So they are in our environment. But it doesn't mean that those pesticides are the most risky. You can think about antibiotics or some pharmaceuticals or other industrial chemicals that we may not be fully aware of now that could be also a high priority for further monitoring.
In the report, there were some solutions given. Can you discuss those a bit more?
Yeah, sure. So one of the key recommendations is really to start collecting information on the quantity and use of chemicals in New Zealand. And from this, we can think that this information is really useful to design some monitoring to match the use pattern. So that's, I think, a very, very good starting point. And another recommendation to follow this is to develop guidance for best practices for monitoring. So it means that the different organizations that are currently conducting some monitoring, they would apply the same protocol. They would monitor our environment, soil, sediments, groundwater, surface water in the same way. So then we can then integrate the data and get a bigger picture at the national level. This is definitely not possible at the moment. These are two important solutions, recommendations made by the PC that I think are really useful.
And what do you think are the next steps to getting closer to those solutions?
Resources. Monitoring is really expensive. Keeping data, integrating it, require people to really have a look at those numbers, require industry to make declaration and so on. So I'm really hoping that this report will help unlocking some of the resources that are needed to tackle the challenges that we are facing. More resources for researchers as well would be fantastic, so that we can better understand what happens to contaminants in our unique environment.
That was Melanie Carr, Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, discussing hazardous chemicals and improvements New Zealand could make to monitoring them.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.